Hey guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast, and John and I are here tonight to do a special for Kentucky hiring Mark Pope as its new Kentucky basketball head coach.
Your attention.
It's all a commotion around here.
What are you talking about?
Let them yap at you.
It's actually very exciting.
Amazon here with me tonight. We are coming to you and going to do a little bit of an update on everything about the Kentucky search and the official announcement today. What's up, Hammonds?
What's up, my man? What's going on?
Oh, man. So Josh Hart, right off the bat, I'll get you out of the way. He says it's about time because he's been trying to watch this for about 3 or 4 hours, and we postponed it a time or two. So that's what that's all about. Yeah. If you are helping us grow on Facebook and you are using Facebook to watch us tonight, you can help support us by sending stars. Sending stars helps us earn money so that we can make more content for you guys. Also, you can subscribe now on our College Sportscast Facebook page for a mere 99 cents a month. You can subscribe and help support us, so it's not much damage to you.
And while you're on that, subscribe to the Kentucky NIL. I mean, while we're at it, that's a plug there, so we can get some money going.
Oh yeah, Club 15.
Yep,
that's one of them for Kentucky on the NIL. Mm-hmm. So today, this morning, we get up and pretty early this morning, actually. I mean, you know, by 9 o'clock or so this morning, 9:30, somewhere around there, the official announcement came through that Kentucky has hired Mark Pope as their 23rd head basketball coach. I want to point out that he's the 23rd coach overall. However, since 1930, there's only been Rupp, Hall, Sutton, Pitino, Tubby Smith, Gillespie, Calipari, now Mark Pope.
But
he's the eighth. He's the eighth coach at Kentucky since 1930.
Well, and to be fair, some of those, the 23 thing, there's some discrepancies with Adolph Rupp. There's some things in there where somebody said that there's some issues, how long certain things, the different coaches and such, and I don't know the whole thing behind it.
Before Rupp, there was quite a bit. We're talking in the 19-teens and the 1920s. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of basketball going on. There was no tournaments. And, this was a long, long, long time ago. So there was.
Hey, your great, 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 great grandfather was probably riding a pony by then, man.
Yeah. You're talking about the 1900s and the 1919s and stuff like that.
He was probably riding a mule back and forth to work every day.
So there was about 15 coaches in the first 30 years there, when really there was nobody. I mean, they just played ball, and if you showed up, to watch him. I guess you did, but there was no TV, there was no radio, there was nothing, none of that back then. So
it was a different time back then, yeah.
Yeah. So Mark Pope is a former Kentucky national champion. Let's start off with that. He was the team captain and leader of the championship team that was Rick Pitino's national championship here at Kentucky. And Mark Pope was the captain of that team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for me, that means something to me. I'll be honest with you. I grew up, I was too young to remember the 78 championship. When that happened, I was only three, and I was a little too young to remember that. And then I spent the next 20 years of my life wondering if am I ever going to see Kentucky win a championship?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was an awful long. I had a lot of love for this university, always have. Seemed like it was an awful long time. And then Rick Pitino puts together the 1996 team, and Mark Pope was one of, at the time, my favorite players on that team. So for me, it's, you know, all of what's going on. You had Rick Pitino today chiming in on Mark Pope and sending out a really nice message that he sent out early this morning, actually, yeah. And congratulating Mark Pope and giving him a little bit of props.
When's the last time you've seen a high major coach say that he would write an NIL check while he's a head coach of another program? I mean, have you ever heard that?
I mean, yeah. And then later in that interview with Alvin Cutler, he actually says that he would write Mark Pope an NIL check if they have trouble getting money or something.
I made a joke about this earlier. I said all that money that he sued Louisville over, he's using all that money to send to Kentucky and use it as a savagery thing to get back at Louisville. Like, so I made a big joke about that. I thought that was pretty funny. Like, a lot of Louisville fans in the comments was getting really angry with him. They was like, you know what? He's an opposition now. They're like, you have betrayed us. Well, you really think he was going to choose Louisville over Kentucky? Like, Kentucky was his first – well, I mean, I wouldn't say it was his first stint, but it was his first big –
He has always – Tino always loved his time here. He's always loved Kentucky. So it's not a shock to me to see him make a video like he did this morning, especially talking about his team leader on his 1996 championship team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know – That was his team captain on his championship team in 1996. So you can't really say anything bad about that.
One of the things
I want to talk about real quick. Back in those days, in his playing days, none other than Jeff Shepherd was one of Mark Pope's roommates. So got to throw that in there just so you guys know that little tidbit if you don't already, because a lot's been going around. But you know, John, you've been following stuff all day, and following stuff online and you know, on Twitter and Facebook and wherever else you get all your stuff from. So what's some of the news you're hearing? We can start with that.
Well, Mark Pope has reached out to Reed Shepherd. He has talked to Reed and Jeff and the family. Now, I'm not so sure what Reed's decision is going to be. It could be, you know, he could come back. He could go pro. Reed's got a big decision to make, if we're being honest, like, because he's projected to be a top 10 pick, and – You leave Kentucky for a top 10 pick but you maybe come back and get some of that NIL money that's being thrown around at Kentucky, and you come back for another year.
I was going to start with that. Since you're talking about Reed here, I mean, there was some NIL money that's becoming available this morning early after the announcement. At least $4 million that's going to be available. There's supposed to be more expected, I think. But, you know, Reed could get some of this money, and that might help the decision as well.
I think it would change some things. And, you know, I'm going to say this, and I know I've been a part of it. The fans have been a part of it. You know, I know everybody's kind of don't know which way to go on this idea, because there's so much uncertainty with the program, so much uncertainty with the situation that happened. And I think people are not so much, you know, they're not mad at Mark Pope. I think the thing was Mitch never really gave any idea how the process was going to go. And I think people was just kind of left out in the dark. Honestly, Brad, don't you think? Like he really never gave any idea what was going on in the search. And usually you hear things.
I think some of the people, but some of the people are talking, you know, that Pope don't have the experience, that he doesn't have any NCAA tournament. Wins and all the post on it. And that post is actually going around quite a bit today, on Facebook. But I made a post about it. My point is that a lot of these teams, blue bloods like Duke and North Carolina, Villanova, done the exact same thing when
resigned. You look at Duke with John Shire and North Carolina with Hubert Davis, like I said, you know, North Carolina just basically thrown him in there. With no head coaching experience, they've done the same thing with John Shire. You know, Louisville did it.
And Hubert Davis didn't either.
Well, and Louisville did it with Kenny Payne, too, but it didn't work out. And I hear these different people say, well, Kentucky is like Kenny Payne is to Louisville. No, let me backtrack on that. Kenny Payne didn't have no head coaching experience before he got to Louisville. Pope actually has a little bit of head coaching experience.
Pope has nine years of head coach experience.
He coached at Utah Valley, and he coached at BYU, and he actually had some really good teams at BYU. Now, I'm going to go on this little rant, too, that I've been seeing on KSR that really bugs me, and this is in the comment section. There was two or three BYU stars that put their name in the portal, and it said, do not contact, right, do not tag. Well, somebody had made a post and said, well, look at these kind of players that we're getting now. This is not the five stars that I thought we was going to get. These are just a bunch of duds. Let me say this.
Let me tell you.
Look around.
Wait a second. Let me say this about that, though, real quick. This is a – BYU was going to be a preseason top what Mark Pope had coming back.
Yeah, preseason at least 15.
They were a top 20 team, top 15 team all year this year.
But
all right, I interrupted you.
Well, to add to that, you look at all the schools that are recruiting at the levels that they are. You know, you got Creighton, the way they recruit. Houston, the way they recruit. This is a different way of going about things that Kentucky's going to do. This is not going to be your John Calipari five-star Mickey D Burger Boys anymore. This is going to be the Creighton-type teams, the Houston-type teams, the possibly UConn-type teams that are going to have portal guys.
It's what Purdue, UConn did. Yeah, I mean, it's what's going on in college basketball right now.
Well, and it's the new era of the NIL. The college basketball landscape is not where it was 15, 20 years ago. It's completely changed. You got a lot of coaches moving in and out. A lot of coaches retiring. Jay Wright, Jay Wright got out because he did not want to. He didn't want to have nothing to do with all this because he was getting older and just did not want to have to deal with all the pressure of having to deal with the portal and the NIL. Listen, folks, the portal and the NIL is a game changer in college athletics, but now everybody gets a piece of the pie. It ain't just Kentucky. Kentucky used to be the big dog on the porch. North Carolina used to be the big dog. Duke used to be the big dog on the porch. But now you've got other teams getting on the porch, and they're getting these players, and they're getting opportunities to play, and it's changed the whole idea of the whole national landscape of college basketball.
And Reed would absolutely benefit from a second year, I believe. But and it's not like his family needs the money, but at the same time, you got to make sure he gets some kind of benefit out of it at the same time. So, you know, but we'll see what happens with that. And Mike, I also seen where you said three BYU players put their name in. Hall, the point guard, is one of them, 6'4", averaged 9 points and 5 assists.
Hey, listen, I'm going to say what I want to say.
Khalifa, a big guy, he's a good one.
You don't know
who, Robinson, I think.
If you don't know who Jackson Robinson is, Kentucky fans, go to YouTube and Google him and watch him play. Like, he literally, if it wasn't for Jackson Robinson. He wouldn't have – BYU wouldn't even have been in the game against Duquesne.
He's a really good player.
If they wouldn't even have been in the game against Duquesne if it wasn't for him.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you're right. Mark Pope started as an assistant at Georgia, Josh, in 2009. He played professionally till 2005. And then he went to actual – medical school and completed 2 years of medical school at Columbia University. I mean, we're talking about a really smart individual here. And then he got a chance to get into coaching and decided that medicals and doctor is not what he wanted to do. And he wanted to get here in Georgia, just 1 year at Wake Forest. And then he went to BYU and was 4 years as an assistant at BYU. And then he got the head job at Utah Valley State and was there for 4 years, and now he's been at BYU for 5. So he's been a head coach for 9 years.
I'm going to tell you what I love about this whole hire. You know, Kentucky fans have always wanted that coach and that player that represents the front of the jersey. And this is where Mark Pope gets that, because he said today that it really meant a lot to him from the depths of his soul. This university and Commonwealth was really important to him. And I'm going to say this. Mark Pope loves Kentucky as much as me and you, people from Owensboro, you know, Bullitt County, for all over Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. Yep. He loves it as much as we do. And he's going to be coaching his favorite team as a dream job. Could that fit any better than what Mark Pope is settling into and what he put himself into with Mitch Barnhart by getting this job? Because he's going to be on the sidelines at his school where he won a national championship. He's going to be coaching his favorite team. Not many people get to do that.
No. Lauren is bringing up that Ulis is trying to get his degree and talking about Rondo here and John Wall. She's talking about options for assistant coaches on the staff here. You know, Ulis was a student assistant. So as today, I expect at least one, if not two, assistant coaches to be filled by former players. I really do. I'll throw out another name. Travis Ford is available, and he's been recruiting and in coaching a long time. Travis Ford has.
And he even, according to a report, I think there was a report where Travis Ford said he would try to help
NIL,
NIL stuff. So listen,
with Reed, with getting Reed
much,
back. Yeah.
As much as you loved the Calipari era, and as much as you loved the one and dones and the such things with the five star talent, with the players coming back forth Kentucky, now you're going to get a dose of the former players such as Ron Mercer, Tony Delk, Travis Ford, Pelfrey,
Derek Anderson.
Now you're going to get a double dose of those guys.
Yeah, Givens was really high today on them.
And, you know, and now you got Rick Pitino jumping back on board. Like, are we in a twilight zone, Brad? Because I feel like we're living in a twilight zone that Rick Pitino is actually sitting here and talking back to the UK fans, which at one point was really difficult because he had some strained relationships with this program, and now it seems like it's kind of you know.
Him and Calipari kind of had a rivalry too, so that didn't help.
I'm going to tell you what I think. I think there's some shade being thrown around towards Calipari because of this, and I'm not saying like not at him exactly, but I think some of the comments and some things that was made today by Mitch Barnhart. I think there was a lot of shade being thrown at Calipari that no coach is bigger than the program. And I think, you know, we're going to find that out with Mark Pope, because at the end of the day, if you want to be at Kentucky, you're going to be here. I want kids that want to come here. I want kids that want to play for the name of the jersey. I want kids to come here that don't care about the NBA and want to actually play and actually build a team and build chemistry and build a foundation
and develop, you know, and develop. People forget talent. That you can actually develop. You can spend a couple of 2 or 3 years here and actually develop your talent and become a better player and become a pro even.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Oscar Tshiebwe did. He's not lights out talented. You know what I mean? But you know, people forget that you can actually develop talent. So, you know, and that's what Leanne Bryant here is talking about as well. She says they're the ones that stay the 3 and 4 years. You can actually develop talent. And I wanted to put that out there. But we were going to try to kind of keep this a kind of a quick show. So, John, let's talk about the players real quick. Recruit-wise, there are 3 recruits who have not decommitted. Billy Richmond has not decommitted. Fland has not. Perry has not decommitted.
Ironically, they are all three
four-stars. The 5 stars have decommitted. The 4 stars have not.
Boogie Flan has not decommitted. Richmond has not decommitted. I'm not sure. I don't think Travis Perry has decommitted. But
there's
not a lot of noise behind it because it's very, very quiet in regards to it. Like, I don't know.
That probably means that they are trying to see what happens and maybe talk to the new coach and try to get a feel of things first, probably.
Well, I'm going to say this. The press conference is 4:30 Eastern time Sunday, and there's going to be a lot of former players there. There's going to be a lot of players there.
If you're a fan, go. It's in Rupp. They're inviting fans. They're going to highlight his national championship run banner in 1996. It's going to be a fun time. If you're a fan, go to the press conference.
Yeah, and
it's going to be a fun time.
And it's free admission. They're letting fans in. I'm guessing it's first come, first serve, more deal. Mike brings up a good point. Wagner, Burke, Big Z, and Hugo hasn't entered the portal yet either. So we're still waiting. The biggest one I'm waiting on is DJ Wagner. DJ Wagner's went rogue. Like, you've not really heard nothing out of him. I don't know
if
You've not heard a thing. So now I did hear today Aaron Bradshaw would be visiting Ohio State. So he's on some visits.
He's going to this weekend. But
like I said, I love this hire. I think this is a great hire for Kentucky. I think Mark Pope loves this program. I think he loves, you know, the fans. He loves the tradition. He actually loves it as much as we do. And at the end of the day, man, if you start doing what you say you're going to do and build that camaraderie with these fans and whatnot, you're going to have a winner here in Mark Pope. And you're seeing that on the national level. So many
people. Great barn, by the way.
Well, and we've seen it on the national level. So many people on the national level have come out in support of Mark Pope. We've seen so many people, Seth Davis, Jimmy Dykes, they've all come out and said this is a – it might be a risky hire, but it's a hire that might pay off in the long run.
Yeah, here's something, Mike. Exactly. Senior night might actually start meaning something again. Absolutely. And I agree with you that these guys, we've not heard from these guys yet. I want to throw out, I did hear today that that Joey Hart, who did put his name in the portal, we will see what happens with that. But I hear that he is excited, that he likes Mark Pope's offense and thinks that he can excel in Mark Pope's offense. So we'll see what happens with that. But
I'm sure you're going to hear probably a bunch of roster news probably in the next 3 or 4 days because the portal is going to close.
I think most of the roster stuff is probably going to hold off until after Sunday, after the press conference.
Yeah, because you don't want to ruin the day for Mark Pope. You want to get everything, all the optics situated it with the press conference and whatnot.
Yeah, I think most of that's going to be held off till Sunday. Wireman, I will say this. Big Z, and I got to say this on my show, if you watch Mark Pope's offense, there would be nobody on this team that could excel more or better than Big Z. Evicius could kill it in Mark Pope's offense. And this five-out bigs – I mean, this Zoom offense that he runs with the bigs, it would be great for Big Z. I think he could actually, like, instead of the old pick and roll stuff that Calipari does all the time, and that's the only thing he does, I really think that Big Z would excel in this offense.
I'm going to tell you something else that I really love about Mark Pope's offense. Is his Zoom action. The way they move without the ball, the backdoor cuts. You know, it sort of reminds me, and me and you had this conversation last night, it sort of reminds me of Matt Painter and Purdue, the way they run things. The way they run around the perimeter, they set screens, they go behind the back door. There's a lot of Zoom action with Purdue.
I mean, if you watch them, they run three screens and a guy comes around, and there's three of them. They have a double and another, and they have, like,
It's the new modern-day college basketball offense, the way that it's ran. Mark Pope's teams run it to perfection. Like, let me ask people this that's on here. There's 15 watching, but go to YouTube tonight and type in – BYU video game numbers and watch the replay of that. They break down BYU's offense and why they look like that they're, you know, winning games and doing things right by how they play like a video game. And it breaks down the film.
Over the last 10 years, Mark Pope has averaged 81 points a game and has one of the top 5 or 10 efficient offenses in the country at BYU. In the country.
And I'll say this, what Wireman, kind of back up on what Wireman's saying. Now, I don't know if every single recruit is going to go to Arkansas with Calipari. I have no idea. But I would expect that a couple of them, maybe three, stay back and give Mark Pope a chance. I really do. I think there's an opportunity there. So
Travis Perry will. He's a Kentucky boy. I think it would surprise me if he doesn't. And then it wouldn't surprise me at all if at least one of them come with him and we keep at least two of them.
You know who I think? You know who I think? You know who I think stays? Boogie Flan.
Yeah, it might be. It depends. I really do. It depends if Wagner comes back. I think it depends if Wagner comes back.
If Wagner comes back, I don't think you've seen, but I think if Wagner leaves, because most people think that Wagner, what he's going to do, he's going to skip, you know, either Kentucky, either Kentucky, go to Arkansas or go pro. So,
yeah, Mike, Calvin Sampson is not the only one. There are many coaches in this country that says that Mark Pope has one of the hardest offenses to defend in the country. In the country.
And Weierman.
And Calvin Sampson.
And Weierman, we'll get a couple of portal kids. We'll get maybe two to three portal kids that are not BYU guys. See, a lot of people don't realize
most three quarters in the country, Curtis.
Mark Pope recruits the portal to best fit his style of play of basketball. Now, there's going to be some guys that you would want to get in the portal, but that's just not what's going to happen. You're going to get what fits Mark Pope's style and the way he runs his offense.
And what he runs. Yeah. If Reed Shepherd does stay in college, it'll be at Kentucky. Yes, absolutely, for sure, Weierman. I agree with that. Perry will probably stay. I think so, too. And we will get two or three kids from BYU. I think so, too. I think we'll get at least two, maybe three from BYU. And then we'll pick up a couple of transfers. I kind of agree with what you just said right there. And I think we will have a pretty talented roster. I think that we will have a bunch of shooters. Here's the thing about Mark Pope's offense. He has bigs who can step out. He has big guards. He doesn't like 6 foot guards, 6'1" guards. He likes 6'4" or better. He runs things with like 6'4", 6'6". He likes big guards, and they run the five out offense, spread offense, and they do a lot of zoom action.
Who does that remind you of?
Absolutely.
Does it not remind you of Rick Pitino when he played in 96, when he coached in 96? It reminds you so much of Rick Pitino teams.
Oh, yeah.
The way they play.
Yes. Yeah. They do a lot of backdoor cuts from outside. They do a bunch of screening and then backdoor cuts and things like that. They get a lot of dunks, too.
I want to tell you.
Point shots.
Some of the backdoor cuts.
I said Big T would be a great fit in this offense. He would absolutely excel in this offense.
I think so, Curtis. He said, is a 6'4 kid from BYU coming? I think he entered the portal today. Yeah, I believe he'll be there. Yeah.
He was Mark Pope's point guard. He had 9 points and 5 assists.
There's probably two guys as of now that will probably hit the portal, which they've already hit the portal, and they'll probably commit to Kentucky within the next 3 or 4 days. But I'm going to say this. There's one kid that I was told about last night that that Mark Pope has been recruiting, and I haven't learned a lot about him, but I'm going to go look out some, you know, tape after we get off the show. But his name's Colin Chandler. I was told by a BYU insider that Colin Chandler, he's the four-star kid that BYU was recruiting with Pope. I talked to a BYU insider last night, and he said that if Mark Pope recruits him, he said he will go to Kentucky.
There's two guys.
Yeah.
And so if you got a YouTube or whatnot, type in Colin Chandler. He's not your five-star burger boy, but he's just a flat out hooper. White boy that can hoop and that just absolutely gets after it.
I'm pretty sure this is the four-star kid.
Absolutely got a motor on him.
Yeah.
And he makes I tell you who reminds me of. You know Jimmer Fredette?
Yeah.
Played at BYU. He plays it's the way they play. Like it's that style of play that Mark Pope plays. It's like that Jimmer Fredette, just shooters all over the place. And what is Kentucky always wanting?
That's what Pope does.
What is Kentucky fans always want? They've always wanted shooters. Now you're going to get them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You're going to get shooters, and you're going to get physical guys out top. You're going to get good passers and backdoor cutters, and you're going to set a lot of screens around set a lot of screens and come off of them and do a lot of zoom action. And that's absolutely five out stuff. It's going to be a fun offense. Like I said, over the last few years, they've averaged 81 points a game. They're one of the top scoring efficient offenses in the country. And defense, they are, you know, Pope will play a zone and mix it up a little bit and stuff, when need to be. It'll be better on defense than we've been the last 2 years under Calipari. Yeah, I can promise you that.
You can bet you about bottom dollar on that one. I will say this, that there's a guy in the former Kentucky era that I would really like his pulse on things now. Jamal Mashburn. I would like to know where Jamal Mashburn's head's at right now, because he was part of that group with Patino, you know, and where he would be. So what's up, Jeff? But I would like to know where Mashburn is.
Speaking of Jamal Mashburn, Jamal Mashburn Jr. is in the portal.
He is. He is in the portal.
Yeah.
I think
he's not Jamal Mashburn. Okay? Jamal Mashburn was 6'8", 240, could shoot, could go inside, rebound. His son is 6'2" guard.
The thing about Jamal Mashburn Jr. is he's one of those guys that just – how do I say this? He's one of those that plays D. He's not the greatest shooter, but he gets after it and he can get in and mixed in the paint. He's really that kind of player. He's like his dad in ways, but he's not the shooter that his daddy is. And, you know, would we still have him? Yeah, because he's a legacy recruit and he's one of he's Jamal Mashburn. Like he's part of that.
He's a grad senior. He's only got 1 year left. So, but yes, Tim Benson, you're exactly right. It's going to be a different philosophy. It's going to be a different mindset. It's going to be about building. It's going to be about developing. It's going to be about a different type of player for the most part. Yes, occasionally will they go after and possibly get a five-star here and there? I think so. I mean, give him a little bit of time. I think so. But at the same time, I think if he could fill his roster up with a whole bunch of four-star players and build with them for 2 or 3, 4 years, I think that's really what he would prefer. And I think the game has now changed to that. I mean, I talked about it earlier. I mean, UConn plays that way. Houston plays that way. I mean, San Diego State plays that way, that made it to the finals last year. Purdue played an offense and had players, you know, that's similar to that.
Curtis says, sounds like we'll be similar to some of the teams like Gonzaga, Creighton, and St. Mary's. To me, season one. Yeah, that's what you're going to have it to be like. It's going to sort of be like Diego State and some of these.
I mean, for him to fill the spots now, I think you're going to see some BYU players here. Maybe you get Hart back. Maybe you get Big Z back. Maybe you get Shepherd back. you know, and fill maybe one or two other spots here with a few players. And I believe you're right. So, you know.
Thomas, yeah. Antonio Reeves and Trey can't come back. They're super seniors. Their collegiate time is over with.
They're out of eligibility. Yeah. Yeah, they're out of eligibility. They played 5 years. Played their extra COVID year already. All right, guys, we're going to kind of cut this one short. But before we go, I do have to give you a little bit of update before we go.
I just want to say real quick, we had to change the time Sunday on our podcast to 3 o'clock Eastern time because of the press conference. So,
yeah. So we were setting this up for 4 o'clock, but we have changed it to 3 o'clock because the Mark Pope press conference at Rupp Arena on Sunday is at 4:30. So in order for us to be able to watch, in order for Valerie Steele to be able to watch and be a part of the press conference, we moved this up 1 hour so we can at least still have enjoy a legend that she is, the greatest Kentucky women's basketball player and maybe the greatest overall, because she is the leader in points scored and rebounds, men's or women's, in Kentucky history. She still is the leader, and we are so excited on Sunday, April 14th. Join us, College Sportscast, Lady Cats Blast, right here.
And I have been talking,
Valerie Steele.
And I have been talking to Valerie Steele the last couple of days, and she is absolutely pumped about all this. She said she's like a little kid in a candy store. Like, she wants to do this.
Yeah.
She wants to talk about her time. And if for folks that don't know, Valerie Steele's brother is Art Steele, that played in the NFL, for those that don't know. Played at the University of Kentucky.
He played for the Kansas City Chiefs for like 10 or like 11, 12 years. He was a four-time Pro Bowl in the NFL. Art Steele was a legend himself. He graduated in 77, or finished playing in 77 at least, and was on the 76 and 77 teams that done so well for Kentucky. They are both Kentucky alums and both legends. So we're going to talk about both on Sunday. And I had to tell you guys about that. We are excited about that. This will be an hour and a half before the press conference is when the show will start. So
it'll be at 3, and then most likely 4 o'clock will be 4, I think. Yeah. Jared, it's
We'll try to keep it around an hour.
And hopefully, I have talked to Valerie. Hopefully, we can get her brother on as well for the football aspect of it, especially during football season, because we would love to have Art Steele on during Kentucky football season and talk about the football team. So
Valerie Steele, that's another thing, guys. She had a long. She went overseas. She played overseas. She come back. She helped start and was on the first WNBA teams. She played like 16, 17 years of professional basketball. And she won championships everywhere she went. She won an SEC championship at Kentucky. I mean, she's an absolute legend in the women's game. And she's the GOAT at Kentucky when it comes to women's basketball.
Yeah, don't let Brad tell you any different. She's the GOAT. She's the GOAT.
She's the GOAT. She's the greatest of all time.
The GOAT.
Absolutely. All right. So we are excited to have her on the show Sunday, and we will see you guys at 3 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday for our Lady Cats Blast with Valerie Steele. Y'all have a good night, and y'all go to Rupp on Sunday if you can.
Get there. Go Cats.